Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Coming to you live from wherever their significant others allowed them to record this, it's That Movie Is Fine, the podcast, presented on the Pop Culture Entertainment Network.
But is it going to work?
Yeah.
I'll cut that out.
With your hosts, the one who initially rated Gods of Egypt 5 stars, it's Lauren Knight.
Actually became a slumber party staple. So you have a bunch of these girls watching Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken, and then Young Frankenstein.
And the one who literally has James Cameron's Wikipedia article printed on a t-shirt, it's Aaron Hudson.
Besides something like a presidential election, that's a gateway to horror. I would say...
Is today's movie fine, less than fine, or better than fine? Stay tuned to find out.
But you just told me that you got your refund.
Yes.
For the Sly Stallone event, for those who...
I did. If you've been with us, you know that I went to this event that ended...
Without Stallone?
Without, yeah. An experience without Stallone.
Yeah.
I did. I got my full refund. $1,335.35 back... on my American Express, but it was a gift from my mom, and I.
Well, she'll never see.
So I don't know how to like get it off of the credit card. So all it did was reduce our debt for a month, which is nice, I guess. But that is not what my mom intended either.
My life is one big debt. thanks, Criterion.
But yes, so fuck you, experience with. I got my money in full.
Yeah, well, you know, that you paid for an experience that did not happen. You should not have to pay for it. The dinner was not that good. I'm sure it was good.
Yeah, it would not $800 steak good.
Good God.
No, yes. Not at all. But yeah, so I won. I beat the man.
You beat the man. And like Ric Flair says, to be the man, you got to beat the man.
So. There are people still struggling with trying to get refunds. I'm still part of a Facebook group that's like...
I'm glad you got it. Somebody had reached out to me because they thought I had gone because of the podcast episode. I was like, no. But she was doing the same thing you were, kind of just waiting on her credit card company. And I have no idea how that ended up. I didn't reach back out. But I hopefully everyone gets what they ask for back, because that's really too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. There are people still waiting.
Speaking of Sly and the Family Stallone, Creed 3 came out.
I almost
without Sly.
I almost went yesterday to see it because I was just really bored.
Yeah.
And Will had his game night, so he's busy with his nerd friends like playing D&D online and stuff. Mm-hmm. So like I honestly thought about just going up to the Harkins Christown near my house and just watching it, but I ended up rewatching Creed 2 because my power went out and I only had Creed 2 on Blu-ray.
That one's okay.
So I mean, you know how I feel about Dolph. So, it was nice.
It's true. You got a thing for Dolph.
I do have a
kind of funny.
I do have a thing for Dolph. But then I watched them backwards. I watched the first one today because I didn't happen to own that one, but my internet was back. So.
Okay. I think the first one is on par with like Rocky, Rocky II, and Rocky Balboa as being amongst the top tier of that franchise. If we're just talking about like objective films, not entertainment, because obviously Rocky IV isn't a good movie, but it's a great movie.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, Rocky III is fantastic.
Rocky III is
funny. My Letterboxd review for Creed says it's no Rocky Balboa, but it's more than fine. Yeah. I gave it 4 stars. I still think Rocky Balboa, like...
That one's excellent.
That one, yeah, is just so good.
There's a scene in Creed, and it's been several years since I watched it. I'm going to rewatch him to see the new one. But there's a scene in Creed during the fight sequence where he's not doing so hot, you know, like he's not really doing great, and he's in the corner and Sly's like, you know, why are you doing this? And, you know, I don't remember the exact verbiage. You just watched it.
He's
like, you know, why are you even here? Why are you doing this? And he's like, to prove that I deserve to exist.
Yeah.
You know?
To prove that I wasn't a mistake, yeah, is what he says.
As someone who is adopted, that scene really hit me. Because that's basically what I've been doing my whole life, is proving to the person that gave me up, you were wrong. Or maybe you were right. I don't know. But, you know, that scene hit me.
No, they were wrong.
It hit me like a Sly Stallone right hook right in the dick. That first time you watch it, you'll never catch that high. And I get that.
Yeah.
You know, the closest we can get sometimes. We evolve, sure. There's sometimes where we can go, you know what, I missed the boat on this movie the first time. That can happen. But most of the time, our first watches are our best watch. It's the, you know, where it's new and fresh. And we might be able to show it to somebody and vicariously kind of live through their first experience. Yeah.
Do you ever have like a mourning period after you watch a movie, knowing that you can't watch it again for the first time? Like, it doesn't always happen to me, but I almost feel sad that I can't go back and experience a certain movies for the first time.
You know,
and like
there's movies that make
me sad.
I think back on certain movies the first time I watched them, how special it was. And like, I mentioned Will a little bit ago, Will Johnson, and he just went through Sergio Leone for the first time. I remember in 2003, I had a car for the first time in my life. I had a car, and I could go buy any movie I wanted to. This was before streaming and all that, so you had to go get a movie if you were going to buy it. And that's when I watched all of Sergio Leone's movies for the first time. You know, I'd seen clips of them in documentaries, or of course, you know, Back to the Future has a bit of Fistful in it and everything, and I knew the song from The Good and the Bad and the Ugly, but that was my first time watching those movies, and like, I wish I could relive that, because my parents were gone for like a week. They went to go like see a family member's wedding, and every night I was going to Circuit City or Fry's Electronics or Best Buy. I was spending so much money. I wish I could watch those again for the first time. There's also movies that are, you know, there's movies that we really like when we watch them. Like, they give us that nice high, like, and they're happy and they're funny. And we're like, that was a great movie, but they're all ultimately kind of forgettable.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's not really anything that much to them, but like, they give you that right oomph.
Yeah.
And then there's movies that you watch and you're not even sure if you like it. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, that was, I like that movie. It was okay. I think I liked it. But then you don't stop thinking about it for like a week.
Yes.
And then you realize, man, actually, I really love that movie. I can't stop thinking about this movie. Why? I don't know. So there's that, too.
That happened to me recently with a war movie, of all things. And it was, 'cause
you love war movies.
I know. We all know that I love watching war movies. It's just a personal thing. I find the violence... Like, I'll watch a Tarantino movie, no problem. I'll watch a slasher film, no problem. But something about war movies, like, I won't watch Saving Private Ryan. Like, my grandfather was
right?
No.
You haven't seen Saving Private Ryan?
No.
Wow, okay.
No, because so it was a lot for me to turn on All Quiet on the Western Front, mm-hmm, because I had heard things about it, you know, because it's an anti-war.
And you've never seen the original?
Not the 1930s. I remember in high school, we watched the Richard Thomas one.
From like 79, I want to say.
Yeah, but it was like PG. We were allowed, like, we had to get parental permission, but it wasn't a violent, you know, thing at all. But I can't stop thinking about the ending. And so for someone like me, so for someone like me who's never seen the OG, mm-hmm, and who's never read the book,
yeah,
like, I was fresh eyes, right? Yeah. Like, I had nothing to compare it to.
Because the ending in the original, the one from like 1930, is strong, especially for a 1930 movie, right?
Okay.
Wow, this is 1930.
It's not free to stream anywhere.
I
should
have it.
Oh, you do have it?
Yeah,
okay.
Of course
I was going to say,
it.
I should just rent the $2.99 or version, or whatever.
Yeah,
but
whatever you want to do.
But like, that movie, I think about the ending a lot, like every day, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of wake up and I'm like, I think about that ending. And not for like a carnage reason, you know, for like a body count kind of reason.
I know the story.
Yeah.
And
so just going in blind to it, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I think about and really like enjoyed. Like, I actually I was okay watching that movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed my time watching it as much as one can enjoy an anti-war, war movie, if that makes sense.
Think and the movies that make you, you know, you continue to kind of think about them for a couple of days, it's a special thing. I just watched The Pledge, which was directed by Sean Penn.
You rated that kind of high.
I gave it 4.
Yeah.
Because it went in a direction I didn't... Because I remember when it came out, and it kind of like... It was like right before 9/11 it came out, I feel like. And like, it kind of just died. And I, you know, never really thought about it. And I was like, because it was a movie, I was like, oh, I should see that. And then, you know, 9/11 kind of was a weird time for those of us who were around. And we were even fairly relatively young.
Yeah, in certain high school. You know, we were 10, 11th grade.
But, it went in a direction I didn't expect it to. Jack Nicholson gave one of his finest later career performances because, you know, those guys that are so good, like he is really good. But, like, him and De Niro... You know, they almost kind of become caricatures of themselves at a certain point. You know, Pacino, like you kind of expect him to give the Pacino performance or the De Niro performance or the over-the-top Nicholson, and like he doesn't give that at all. But it pissed me off, the ending. I thought about it for the next day, you know?
Okay.
Which is more than I can say for a lot of movies I watch.
Yeah. No, and sometimes, though, you can think about an ending, but then really... not like the movie, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It could have a really strong ending or something, but then you still don't like what led up to it.
This is a movie where the ending almost ruins the rest of the movie because you're like, oh, really? That's how you're going to go? But it works.
I mean, it's an
honest ending.
We've talked about my 1970s...
You're such not a fan like of a the ver- new Hollywood.
Not like a version, but like... And I think that's partly why, like, I'm reading Tarantino's book right now, and it's really helping me.
Does he talk about the, like, downer endings?
He talks about, like, the what do you call it? Like, the existential and the futility of man and, like, living and things like that. And I think that's why I have such a hard time with a lot of them is because, like, either the characters aren't, you know, like, redeemable in
any
sort of way.
In those movies, which is honest.
Yeah.
You know, the bad guys aren't all bad, and the good guys aren't all good.
Yeah.
And
which, again, I don't have a... It's weird how it fits with this. I think it's just the mentality. The bleakness.
It's a bleak
the lack of hope.
All the stuff that was going on in that time, you know, you had the 60s, which were hopeful for a while, and you had the flower power movement, and, you know, the kind of the end of the beatniks and all that, and then you go into Vietnam, and Vietnam... was, you know, this weird time in America, which just leads into, you know, like the late 60s where things got weird at like the Altamont event. You know, you go from Woodstock to Altamont where people are literally dying at a free concert. It's, you know.
Well, and you've also got sexism. You've got LGBTQ rights because you've got like Stonewall.
Yeah.
Like you've got the Stonewall riots and,
you know,
race and.
Assassinations going on. You have Watergate. It turns really dark and certainly mistrustful of the powers that be there for a while, which is why, listen, we get shafted. The 70s have all these great conspiracy thrillers, you know. you got all the President's Men and Clute and The Conversation and Capricorn One, all these great like conspiracy thrillers.
Robert Redford one that I finally, Jackal?
Three Days of the Condor.
Three Days of the Condor, that's the one.
Yeah, yeah. And then the 90s, once again, you know, the kids of the Watergate scandal, they're adults, and they're like, man, you know, the president's getting BJs in the White House. What's going on? So you get the X-Files, and you get, like, Enemy of the State, and some more conspiracy stuff comes up. What do we get? You know, we get hot Leo DiCaprio as an, you know, an analyst looking at a rock flying at us. That's what we get? That's what we get for our conspiracy thrillers?
I don't know. Whatever. We get a lot of like getting rapists to justice movies in some ways, or like Spotlight.
We get
Spotlight
that.
And we get She Said. We get, you know, we get some of those.
Yeah, all right.
But I don't know if they're not gonna necessarily.
They're not 3 days of the
Condor. Stand the test of time. Right. Like, are we going to be talking about some of these movies 30 years from now? Probably not.
Liam. Evie might enjoy those at a certain point. Yeah. She's kind of...
She's a little cinephile.
She likes Terminator, so I'm a happy guy.
Yeah. And E.T.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just watching Tom and Huck recently.
Oh, man. I've not seen that in years.
That was fun to watch. Because it's kind of like, man, it opens up with like a pallbearer kind of guy, like messing with a dead body. And you're like, oh, this is... this is kind of dark for a kid's movie, you know? Like, and like, Joe is kind of scary character a little bit, you know? I have no idea where this is going.
I don't either. But
Cocaine Bear.
Tom and Huck reminds me of Jungle to Jungle. Do you remember Jungle to Jungle?
I saw Jungle to Jungle on the big screen.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah, I saw all the JTT movies on the big screen, though.
I even saw I'll Be Home for Christmas on the big screen. Oh, you remember that one from like 98?
I do remember that one.
I saw it at the Dollar Theater.
I don't know if I saw that one in theaters. I might have. I saw Little Giants, which we're both a fan of.
Oh, yes.
I saw Little Giants.
Little Giants is great.
In theaters.
I just saw Icebox and Poison Ivy for the Secret Society. Icebox was all grown up. I'll leave it at that.
I always thought her and the little girl in True Beverly Hills were the same girl, but they're not.
They're not, no, yeah.
No, Jenny.
Isn't that funny
is
when
like
that happens?
I know, like, that's, I thought that's they like were
the same person.
I thought they were the same girl, and I was like, what? She was in Poison Ivy.
Oh, man, yeah. She's the bad girl in Poison Ivy, the Secret Society.
She's Ivy, right? Or are they not? Are they not? Don't tell me they're not named Ivy.
Only in the first movie. So
that's so disappointing.
I watch these movies so you don't have to. The first Poison Ivy is Drew Barrymore, and she has an Ivy tattoo. And I can't remember if it's a real tattoo or not. She does get a real one in the movie. And her friend just decides to start calling her Ivy. She's like, I'll call you Ivy, because like she didn't really know her name yet, and she was going to give a ride with her dad, and who's Tom Skerritt, Viper from Top Gun. He's like, hey, nice. It's me. She did it right. And she's like, oh, this is my friend. And she's like, Ivy. Like, she just makes it up. Which is funny, because in the second movie, Alyssa Milano, whose name is Lily, of course, finds Ivy's belongings in this other place, and I'm like, but her name wasn't actually Ivy. Like, it was just like she just started going by that because her friend. So there's that. And then the third movie, Jamie Presley plays Ivy's younger sister. But once again, there's like a flashback at the beginning.
Okay.
You're never gonna watch these movies, right?
No, never.
So like it opens up and like, you know, there's this lady watching the kids, and she kind of like sends them away because she's gonna schlong the pool guy. And you're like, oh, the wife is is going to cheat on the husband. And the husband comes home and he catches him. But it turns out she's not actually the wife. She's the babysitter. So the husband is schlocking the babysitter who's cheating on the husband with the pool boy.
Oh, my God.
Anyhow, then the mom finds out, blah, blah, blah.
Who's presumably closer to her age, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
the pool boy's closer to her age.
Yes, that much closer. Like, they actually make sense together. So the babysitter gets... She's like the live-in babysitter. She gets kicked out. Well, she's the mom of Ivy and the younger sister. And once again, I'm like, Ivy wasn't her name.
This is so confusing. This is needlessly...
And then it flashes forward, and then you get Jamie Presley, who comes back to the family and like is going to destroy it, and, you know...
Yeah.
We've all wanted to walk in on our dad getting tied up and whipped by Jamie Presley, but it happens in the third movie. Then you get to the fourth movie, and the lead actress...
I assure you, we have not.
In the fourth movie, the lead actress is named... Sunflower. I don't remember what it was now. It was that memorable.
Oh, my God.
Has nothing to do with Ivy or any of these other characters. It's just completely different. She's like a farm girl that goes to college.
Of course she is.
And the college has this, like, secret society, hence the title, Poison Ivy, the Secret Society. They're the Ivies, which is whatever. And the Ivies are not supposed to exist, but they do, and they're led by Icebox.
Okay.
Who just... schlonks and seduces her way to getting her way and is a bad girl. And that's the Poison Ivy franchise in a nutshell.
I mean, that's fair. I watched all the Tremors movies. So I feel like I watched all seven of those. So I feel like, you know, samesies.
I mean,
we're close.
I had seen three or four of these back when I was a young teenager for different reasons. We'll leave it at that. I was like, oh, they're on sale. I should revisit them. And I've never seen this fourth one. I'm looking to have the 90s slutsploitation genre to be the Lethal Lolita is also known to be my number one genre of 2023, perhaps.
Nice. Nice. But no, we were talking about all different types of art.
Yeah.
And like what counts as art or what people think is art. And
trash can be art too.
Trash can be art. Adult entertainment can be art.
Absolutely.
Especially I'm not talking like the necessarily the modern day. I mean, whatever, but like the stuff getting restored, like from like Vinegar Syndrome and Severin,
who's very
like
into, like to classic, that is art. Adult films and there's you know, they were made by people who were working hard too. I have a friend who, because I had the same offer, and he decided to film some such stuff, and it was a job, but like also. I know this friend well enough to know that, like, he wasn't just going to take it as a job, if that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. he wants to make things better. He's a greatist like I am. We're not going to do it unless we can try and make it great, even if it's that.
So you're the filmmaker in X, is what you're telling me. Did you identify with that guy who's like, I'm going to make the artsiest porno film ever?
That guy was a loser. Like, couldn't handle Jenny Ortega.
Oh, yeah. That was... Yeah, because I rewatched that because I'd finally watched Pearl.
I love both those movies.
Yeah. They're... I'm excited for
I can't wait for the third one,
which
you know.
Is going to be crazy.
I love... X has kind of the Tex Saw kind of vibe to it, you know, 70s kind of exploitation horror. Pearl had that whole Wizard of Oz thing going on where, like, it had all these analogies to the Wizard of Oz.
And was super, like, Technicolor.
Yes,
it was,
yes.
like, definitely saturated and...
Yeah, and then there's all the, you know, like I said, there's characters. I'm like, oh, it's the wizard. Oh, this guy's the Tin Man. And that was kind of cool.
So I wonder how the third one is going to look.
Maxine.
With three X's in the middle.
Three X's. Only way it should be.
I wonder if it's going to be like a gritty, like a Taxi Driver look. Or I wonder how
it's
going to be.
In the early 80s is when it's going to be set. So yeah, maybe it'll have kind of a De Palma, Scorsese vibe from the
or
period
like a,
or something.
Like a
you know?
Film, and, I never know how to describe it, but like a film over it. Like
yeah,
a,
yeah.
You know,
have a you know that kind of like period look. I hope so. Kind of like Joker did. Joker had that kind of like we're gonna try to make it look like a Scorsese film.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I think Mia Goth is a star, and I'm glad she's kind of getting her due, even if she's not getting her due from award shows.
No, she's. Definitely like a rising star though. You saw Infinity Pool and I have
did.
Not. So I haven't seen her in
it's a wild movie, man. I don't know if I would recommend it to everyone. Certain people I'd be like, yeah, you'll dig it.
I'm gonna give it a try.
Movie. It's a weird movie.
I mean, I watched Crimes of the Future.
Okay. Yeah.
Which obviously not the same, but
not the same Cronenberg, but yeah.
But they seem related because there's still that body modification. Like, that was more body modification mm-hmm. horror thing. Have you seen Crimes of the Future? Mm. Did I just... Okay. Well, it's not really spoiling anything.
Yeah, you're not spoiling anything. But I have it on my... waiting to watch.
It wasn't my jam, but I really loved Possessor.
Yeah.
Even though I'm still not sure what I saw. Like, it was over, and I was like, yeah, I think I dug that. Kind of like what we were saying before. Like, it's over, and you're like, yeah, I
think about it for a while.
Think about it, and I kind of think I like it. So I actually
dug
it. You actually
might like Infinity Pool. It's got some wild stuff in it. It's got some good ideas in it, and it's one of those movies where you don't... I'm not going to try to spoil anything, but, like, there's certain movies that have a technology in it or certain things in it that, like, you don't care if it really makes sense or not. You're in for the ride, you know, like...
I'm excited to see, like, the makeup mm-hmm. and stuff. Because it didn't look like it was CGI. Just like the new, like, the Hellraiser reboot. They
yeah.
still made prosthetic...
Yeah, they made stuff, and that was my favorite part
Cenobites and stuff.
That,
and so yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to the prosthetics that seem to be in it. Just from, like, a
yeah, you,
cool, like, makeup standpoint.
It's a wild movie.
Yeah, and it may not be my jam, but at least, I mean, I'm not going to avoid, I'll just wait till it's streaming or something somewhere, but...
Yeah, I bought it on Vudu because I, you know, it wasn't in theaters too, because that's the kind of movie that I wouldn't be able to go to like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And that like first like week and a half that it actually had those showings, I couldn't schedule
it. And it's gone
and
after 2 weeks.
And then it was gone. Yeah. Then it was like, there was like a 3 o'clock for a while yeah. and I was like, I can't make that, so...
Yeah.
But I had to buy it on the Vudu, which I did.
Yeah.
Happily, so...
And you'll probably buy it in physical media form, too.
I probably will, yeah. I'm an idiot. Yeah, thank you for telling me I'm an idiot, Lauren.
No, I never said that. I just know you very well, and you'll just buy the 4K edition also.
Yeah, if it gets one. Some of them only get Blu-rays these days.
Or,
and I'm like, what are you doing? Give me 4K.
Well, yeah. I bought New York, New York, Sight Unseen, talking about movies from the 70s and Scorsese films.
We'll see what you think. We will see what you think.
I'm hopeful, but then, like, everyone is not hopeful for it. Like, that was not a hopeful statement. And then our buddy Brian is like, it's an interesting experiment.
And
I'm like, Jesus.
That's the guy who, like, has Scorsese in his mouth and saying that. So that says something.
So
you might really like it. All those guys have like a musical. Have you ever seen Friedkin's musical?
No.
The night they raided Minsky's?
What? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me all of the musicals. I don't care what they are, even if they're bad.
No, I like the Friedkin.
Would you own it?
Yeah, of course I own it. It's a Friedkin movie. I love.
Oh, that's true.
William Friedkin's probably my favorite living director, maybe. Like,
okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Him and Jimmy Cam, you know, fighting it out, duking it out for number one.
That's true.
For living fellas, anyways.
So I have the Haas to myself this weekend.
Yeah.
And it's due to arrive on Sunday.
We will see what you think. You're going to borrow some stuff from me.
It's also like 3 hours long or something, I think, right? So
it's very indulgent.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that's what happens when, like, because all the critics love Mean Streets and Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore and Taxi Driver. So he was able to kind of do whatever he wanted and probably needed
someone
to be like,
maybe I'll love it.
Calm down. Have you seen Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore?
No.
Okay.
No. But I've seen Taxi Driver. I've seen, what was the first one you mentioned?
Mean Streets.
I've seen Mean Streets, but it's been forever that I don't remember it. So I should rewatch it because I can't say that I've, yes, I've seen it, but.
Mean Streets is cool. It you know, especially if you know anything about like Little Italy and such, and in New York, Little Italy, and
it was part of my Hollywood Video film education. So that's when I was watching a lot of the like 70s movies, but didn't necessarily have a lot of context for them because I was still in film school, Like, when I started working at Hollywood Video, I was in high school, and we didn't have film classes in high school.
Yeah.
So depending on where I was when I watched it, I didn't really have a frame of reference for it, or I watched it because we discussed it or watched a clip of it in film class, right? So,
I was still in film school and I watched it, and I remember I was watching it because it's not Scorsese's first movie, but a lot of people kind of consider the first like Scorsese movie because it wasn't Boxcar Bertha, which was just kind of like him being hired and, you know, trying to make it his own. Like, this was his movie. And a friend of mine who, he was like, oh yeah, it might be the best American movie ever made. And I was like, I don't know about that, but I like Mean Streets. And Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, you should watch.
Film Tucson just posted something on Instagram.
Yeah.
Because they've been doing flashbacks of like, here's 1995 when so-and-so filmed their movie here, and here's so-and-so. And apparently he filmed some of Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore.
He filmed down for about a month.
Tucson.
Yeah.
But what's... What's funny is the opening shot that they use that had the like cattle horn door. Like,
yes, I've been there before. Yeah,
Greg filmed there.
Yeah, I talked to Greg about that. Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, okay. Cause I was like, I went down there. I never released it, but I filmed a Hawkshalock down there.
Released it?
Yeah. Okay. I still have the footage somewhere, but you know, because Alice filmed there, but also Perdita Durango. Which is an underrated movie from the 90s.
The guy that did
Day of the Beast, he did.
Alex something?
Perdita Durango, you might dig. It's kind of got a Tarantino Rodriguez vibe a little bit. Kind of like 90s Tarantino Rodriguez vibe. It's a wild flick. I like that one a lot. But it filmed down there, just briefly. Okay. So, you know.
The same, like...
Same bullhorns.
Bullhorn
and,
thing.
And they filmed a bit of that movie at the, like, the airplane graveyard that also is down there in Tucson. That what else filmed there? I don't know what this episode's on.
And then you get movies like Cocaine Bear.
Yes. Cocaine Bear.
I feel like this is an episode just for us at this point.
Oh
like,
my God,
I don't think
I don't
this
know
is
what this
anything.
Is.